So just real quick to introduce Nancy, a couple facts. She and Rick have lived in Roswell for the past 22 years. They go to Perimeter. They have three grown children, and two of them, Tyler and his wife, are on staff at Perimeter. And I loved, we were talking earlier, and she said that she just really loves women, you know, our age, and just is passionate about, she's been through the stage of being a young mom, and just wants to share some of what she's been through. So we're really excited to hear you tonight, and come on up.
Thank you for moving forward, because like you were way out there, and I'm a very huggy person, so like I almost just want to come into the crowd there, but I need the front here later, so let me move this up. I am so excited to be here with y'all. Thank you so much for asking me to be here and to just share my story. In prepping for this talk, I thought, okay, what would I want somebody to tell my 20 to 30-year-old mom self way back then, right? And I came up with three different things, okay? The first one was lighten up. Okay, lighten up. And this is so funny because I was looking through some old journals that I had, and I came across 13 years ago, so Dustin was 10 years old, and I have this whole thing about how frustrating he was that day. Lord, give me a triple measure of patience with Dustin. I'm just really at my wit's end with him. And that night, I wrote down the prayers of each of my boys. Tyler, Lord, please give mom and me patience with Dustin. Okay, that's Tyler, my sweet-hearted child. This is Dustin's prayer. Lord, would you help mom just to relax? That was his prayer for me. So that was like this perfect little, you know, you got to relax, right? Life is not perfect. Life is messy. And sometimes we get so scheduled and so process-oriented that we're just not fun anymore. All right, has anybody seen the movie Karina, Karina? It's a long time ago movie, right? Okay, I sat in that theater as the credits rolled, and I just sobbed, and my husband's sitting next to me going, what is wrong? I said, I'm not a fun mom. I was so upset because she's so fun. She's not even the mom, but she's just, Karina, Karina's just really fun, and I was not fun anymore. Lighten up. Okay, secondly, what I would want to say to myself way back then is, I see you. I wanted somebody to see what I was doing. I want to say, I see you guys. I see the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches you're making. I see all the laundry you're doing, the spit up you're cleaning off of your shirt. I see the mopping floors of sticky stuff. I see you. And I think that's so important to know that you are appreciated. So I want to say personally, I appreciate all you're doing for your family, okay? Thirdly, what you're doing matters. It matters. The hard part for where you guys are at, it's these little things that you don't even think about. Just the kindnesses that you do, an act of service, an act of selflessness, a hug, a prayer. All those things, they're little things right now that add up eventually, but you just don't see them right now because you're in the deluge of being a young mom, right? So I just want you to know that you need to lighten up. I see you, and what you're doing matters. Someday your kids are going to be all grown up, and they're going to be adults, and they're going to say thank you. And they may even say thank you when they're 12. How awesome would that be? But, you know, when did you start appreciating your parents? Probably at college age, you know, in your 20s. So you matter, right? You know, we moms are pretty funny because we have this universal thing called worry that we do, right? I remember when I was in fifth grade and I got breast buds. Yes, I'm a late bloomer. And I remember being so stressed about telling my parents that I had cancer. My mom did not tell me what was going to be happening to my body, and so I just felt like, how am I going to break this news to them? All right, when Rick was out of work, when we were early married, I worried about losing the house or paying the bills. When I was a young mom, I worried about dying young. My mom died when I was a junior in high school. And I thought, what if I get cancer and I leave my kids? Lots of worries. You know, when Sarah was in high school, okay, is she going to get pregnant? Is she going to be into drugs? Is she going to drink? You know, we just kind of like constantly spin our wheels and worry, right? Now, all of this worry and everything, you know what it is? It's misplaced hope. It's not remembering that we serve the God of the universe, our shepherd, the rock, the one that we can run to and be safe. That's all misplaced hope when we worry. So I'm going to share my own personal story with you about parenting. But what I want to do first before we go there is there's cards on the table, little 3x5 cards, and I want you to grab one and I want you to grab a pen. And I want you to do a brain dump, right? I want you to do all of the things on one side of that paper. So you only have one side, right? Everything that you are concerned, worried about, stressed about right now, all right? So I'll tell you what to put on the other side in a second. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Go. And you're not going to share this with your table, okay? So just feel free to put whatever you want on there. And then I want you to flip it over, and on the other side, feel free to add if you want, but on the other side, I want you to put the names of all your kids, whether you have one kid or 10 kids, all the names on the other side. And you can just put that face up on the table, all right? Do you know that raising your kids is a love story? Did you know that? My story is God reminding me that he is in control and I am not, and he does it way better than I could ever imagine, right? We are so privileged to be moms, whether you are a foster mom, whether you have adopted your kids, or you've birthed your babies yourself. It is a privilege to be a mom, and sometimes it's easy to forget that when you're in what you're in right now. I want to tell you, too, is that being a mom is sacred and holy, and that's how God views it, and I want you to be able to view it that way, too. Sacred and holy. So my story. Some of you have heard parts of my story, but God, in the last year in particular, has written these fabulous new chapters of it that I want to be able to share with you tonight. Last week, we celebrated 36 years of marriage on February 6th. I was sick, and so was in sickness and in health, so it wasn't a very fun anniversary. But 36 years ago, we got married on a Friday, and the next day, our daughter started. Yes, honeymoon baby. So 9 months later is Sarah Beggs. And this is Sarah at about 9 months. And when you look at this picture, what do you say? It's joyful, happy. You know, Sarah never met a stranger. She was just vivacious and fun to be around. I can remember there was this one summer I had been working and I got the summer off and I said, I'm going to be so intentional about making this just the best summer ever. So Monday we had library day, Tuesday we had bake day, Wednesday we had picnic at the park day, Thursday we had whitewater day because we were out in California and we got whitewater passes, and then Friday was what do you want to do day. So we just had a blast of a summer, right? She was an only child for 9.5 years. And then Tyler came along, who was born in California. Then we moved to Colorado Springs, and Dustin was born, and then we moved here. So when we moved here, Dustin was 9 months old, and Tyler was 3. And so they were raised as Southern gentlemen, right? Sarah, on the other hand, was from the West Coast, and she had a really hard time acclimating. Anybody move in junior high? Oh, it's so no fun, right? Hard to get into the swing of things. Everybody's got their cliques going. So we came here to go to church, and we wanted her here because we knew that there was a great youth program where she was going to be taught the Word of God. So junior high, high school, she did discipleship all the way through, graduated from Centennial High School, and here is her heading off to college. She went to Azusa Pacific University, where both Rick and I went and met. She had always wanted, since she was little, had wanted to go to Azusa Pacific. So this was first semester, the day we dropped her off. Right at the beginning of second semester, we found out she was pregnant. Okay, whoa. I mean, that was like a blow. She's pregnant. She had scheduled an abortion for a Friday and was praying that we would find out. And we found out on the Monday, and she canceled the appointment and then knew right away, you know, I need to choose adoption for this baby. So she moved back to Georgia, went to Bethany Christian Services, chose Michael and Robin out of this litany of parents that were trying to have kids. They've been waiting 7 years to have kids and weren't able to. And she spent 2 to 3 times a week just getting to know them and spending time together, and they became really close, right? So 2 days after 9/11, Ryan, Sarah was born, little girl. So this is Sarah. You can see just this heartache in her face, right? Because she knew that she was going to be handing that baby over to this wonderful couple that she loved and chose, but how difficult to be handing that child over. I can remember that night, spending the night in the hospital with her and climbing up into her bed and just holding her. I cry every time I say this, while she just wept from the pit of her soul. And you know what? As moms, you know, you have your kids and they get hurt, and there's some hurts you just can't take away. I could not take this pain away for Sarah. This is the day that Sarah gave over Ryan to Michael and Robin. And I love Robin's face in this picture because she's like, what am I doing? It's kind of like, you know, when I first had a baby, you guys, I had no clue. I was 21 when I got pregnant, 22 when I had Sarah. And I was at the hospital breastfeeding Sarah. And the nurse came in and said, how's it going? I said, oh, this is awesome. I'm just bonded here. And look at her little fingernails. And this is such a miracle. And she said, well, how long has she been feeding on that side? And I looked at my watch. I said, about an hour. Okay, so I did not have Google, all right? You guys, whoops, I did not have Google or anything, so search. So I had to read a book, and for some reason I didn't do that. So, and I didn't have my mom to ask. You know, really, I was raised on Good Housekeeping magazine, sadly to say. I did learn how to fold a fitted sheet, and that was awesome through that. But Heloise Helpful Hints was my favorite. I mean, because I read that because I didn't have a mom to ask these questions, right? So here this day, they went home with Sarah, Ryan, and Sarah walked out empty-handed. And that was hard. That was really hard. So Sarah goes back to college saying, you know what, I'm going to prove that I'm okay. And she was so not okay. She didn't do well that semester, dropped out of school, had burgundy hair, a tongue ring, and the most lifeless face I'd ever seen before. And to see her go from that 9-month-old joyful child to this hollow shell was so painful. And sometimes, you know, we see our kids hurting and it can rob us of our joy. But we're called to bear each other's burdens, but we're not called to carry our kids' loads. It's not a responsibility. That's God's job to do that. Don't rescue your kids. There's so many things that he wants to teach them that if you step in the way and try to rescue them, they're going to learn at some other time in life. So let them learn it while they're under your roof. So anyway, 9 months later, Sarah's pregnant again. Okay, first time, oops, second time is like dagger to the heart, right? And I can remember lying in bed with Rick that night that we found out, and he said, Nance, this is what divorces are made of. And if we don't get on the same page here, this could really wreak havoc on our own marriage. Well, Sarah was out in California. She came back to Georgia, said, I'm keeping this baby. And I prayed long and hard about that. And I came to her and I said, Sarah, I got to tell you, God has called me to raise your brothers. He has not called me to raise your child. And you guys, I am a mercy person, a mercy giver. For me to have to say that to her was so painful, but I knew that she would take advantage of me. And she would just go out and kind of keep on living her lifestyle. So I said that to her and I said, I'm really sorry. I'll be a great grandma, but I'm not going to raise your child. So a couple days later, she came back to me and she said, you know what, Mom? I wanted Ryan to have a mom and a dad. And what if Ryan came to me 18 years from now and said, what was the difference with Riley and me? Why did you keep him and you didn't keep me? And you know what, too? I realized that the reason why I would keep this one is because there's a hole in my heart and I would be trying to fill it with this baby, and that's not right. It's not fair to this child. So she asked Michael and Robin if they would adopt Riley, and they did. So backwards. So Riley was born April 2003 and went through the same situation of leaving the hospital, but this time Sarah was in the back seat. This is kind of crazy. She was in the back seat with Riley next to her and Ryan on the other side, and they all drove to our house together, and we, you know, said goodbye in the cul-de-sac. Now, this is such an interesting situation because Michael and Robin have both kids. They're now 15 and 13, okay? And they have let us be in their lives, Rick and I and Dustin and Tyler. With Sarah, Bethany said, after 2 years, you kind of need to step back and take a look and separate. And so they did that, which was very, very wise because Sarah wasn't in a place where she needed to be in their lives at that point. But we, you know, we had them over for birthdays and holidays. You know, they were just here for Christmas this last year. Michael and Robin just spent the night last Friday night before they went off to go on a little getaway together. You know, they adopted Ryan and Riley, but we adopted them back into our house, which is pretty cool. It's amazing how genes are so strong. Here's when they were littler. Here's a picture of Ryan and Riley. But genes are so incredibly strong. This is Sarah at 2 and Ryan at 2. And then this is a picture today. You know, how incredibly they look alike. So Sarah had not seen them since they were 2 years old. And Tyler and Melissa got married. It'll be 3 years in May. And they asked Ryan and Riley to be in the wedding. And so here we all are, this crazy family, all of us. There's Michael and Robin on the right side with me. Ryan is in the middle next to Sarah in the peach dress, and Riley is on the left. And this was just such an amazing, holy moment to celebrate this marriage and also celebrate the coming back together where Sarah got to hug them and hold them and talk to them and be with them and them to get to know her and her to get to know them. It was pretty precious. Here they are together. And then this next picture reminds me of a new beginning for Sarah. This was at the reception afterwards, just before we all went our separate ways. Sarah going back to California, Michael, Robin, Ryan, and Riley, they had moved to North Carolina, so that's where they live now. We get to see the kids, we get to have them every summer, you know, just us every summer, and then get to be with all of them, you know, throughout the year, so it's pretty special. But this is where Sarah decided, you know what, I want my life to be different. I want my kids to be proud of me, and I want to make changes in my life. So the biggest miracle, you guys, was Sarah coming back to the Lord. She went back out to California. She got involved in a church. She got involved in a small group of women of all different ages that came alongside and loved her well, even in her brokenness. She began to step outside of herself and serve. She served on panels for birth moms and talking to future adoptive moms and dads. She worked with some foster care girls that found themselves pregnant in the same situation that she was in and gave herself away. Some of those girls even chose adoption because of Sarah's story. She also came alongside other birth moms throughout the whole country and wanted to tell them that, you know what, you should have dignity in what you did. You chose life and you chose to give a gift of life to somebody else, to another couple, and wanted them to know how brave they were. And Sarah really has this mission to change the face of adoption. That's her joy, to be able to come alongside these birth moms. So I really commend Michael and Robin for their graciousness through all of this. I mean, they could have easily just booted us out of their lives, but they chose to have us in, and it is all the richer because of it. And the journey has been amazing. There's this picture here that blows me away because I think about Sarah just when she was so lifeless with her burgundy hair, and I look at this picture of her having that joy again. because she came back around to know Jesus. And she has the joy of Jesus in her here and still does to this day. This picture just makes me so happy. You know, I wondered if Sarah would ever get married. She wondered if she'd ever get married. You know, she had all these hopes and dreams for herself, but, you know, she began believing the lie. Who's going to marry somebody that's had two kids, you know, and, you know, what's my life amounting to? But slowly but surely, she was finding that wholeness. You know, she had begun to go to counseling as well and beginning to love herself. You know, she began to really see who she was and her identity in Christ. So enter into her life a man named David. After Sarah had Ryan, she said, whoever I marry, if I ever do get married, I want to have beloved tattooed on my wrist. She met David, and little did she know that David's name meant beloved. Right away, they knew that they were going to be getting married. And she met him 2 Octobers ago, and they planned on getting married this July, right? So in January of last year, we're FaceTiming, Rick and I are, with she and David, and she said, okay, you guys, I have this wild harebrained idea. Okay, Sarah was really good at those. And she said, what do you guys think about David and I getting married at the San Diego courthouse when you guys are out for the baseball tournament for UK? And so our son Dustin played baseball at University of Kentucky. That's where they were having their first big tournament before the season started. All of my siblings were coming from different areas of the country. We're all converging on it for this big family reunion. We said, go for it. Awesome. All right. So, okay. Oop, don't want to skip. This is too precious of a picture. Sarah had always also wanted to walk down the aisle to the song God Bless the Broken Road. Anybody know that by Rascal Flatts? And because that was Sarah's life, you know, this broken road. So Tyler had downloaded that song on his phone, and this is Sarah and Rick standing at the back wall of this tiny little courthouse room, and all of us are jammed in there. We make this little makeshift aisle. And he turns on God Bless the Broken Road, and everybody just starts crying, right? So they're in the back of the room crying. And what he's saying to her right now is, Sarah, when you were a little girl and I imagined your wedding day, I never imagined this, but it's everything I would ever want for you. And they walked maybe 8 steps to the front. And he handed Sarah over to this man that loves her with his whole heart. And the weight of the world came off Rick's shoulders because he knew that here is a man that is going to finally love my daughter. So after that, you do what you do on any wedding day. You go out and you get pictures taken, right? Dustin had a baseball game to go to, so, all right. So here's the wedding picture. Right from here, we went to In-N-Out Burger and then went to the game at 1 o'clock, all right? And then that night, we went to this Mexican restaurant in San Diego, this little hole in the wall, and it was my family, just this intimate dinner. Sarah shared the story about Beloved and about getting that tattooed and how David's name means Beloved, how they met and things like that. And then Rick said, I want everybody to just go around and share, you know, some advice or just a blessing or something for the couple. Now, Rick and I had met David, but nobody else in this whole room had met David before. So everybody's sharing, and it is just, it is the most holy, sacred time in this little hole-in-the-wall Mexican restaurant as we're sharing with one another. And it gets to Tyler, our sweetheart, that's praying for my patience with his brother. And he's sitting next to David, who's sitting next to Sarah, and he leans over and begins to weep. And he's 9.5 years younger than Sarah, remember this. And he said, Sissy, I have worried about you for so long. Every guy I have seen you date has looked at you with lust. David is the first man I have ever seen look at you with love. And I couldn't be happier for you. It was the most precious thing. to experience that day. It was truly holy. Oh. From here, they still had their little beach wedding in July. You know, they wanted to invite other people to be able to come to it. So the beautiful part about this picture, you guys, is here's Rick and I walking Sarah up the aisle, even though she's already married. Here's her husband playing the guitar while Ryan, her daughter, is singing God Bless the Broken Road. And she has a beautiful voice. Here's the whole family. Robin on the far right was Sarah's matron of honor. Ryan was Sarah's maid of honor and sang. Riley in the black, or in the dark blue there, read several scriptures that Sarah had put aside for him to read. And Michael got up and shared his heart and just some funny stories and a blessing over them as a couple. Again, it was this holy, sacred moment. Here are the kids with Sarah after the wedding. Wow, what? Oh, can't look at that one yet. Okay. What a wild ride. What a journey. Now, let me tell you, through this, God had to strip me. There were things in me that he wanted to change. Sarah's pregnancies were not just for her and what was going on in her life. It was as much for me. I had to deal with my sin, my selfishness, my pride, my self-centeredness, my just self-righteousness, my hopelessness that I felt, all those things where I wasn't trusting God. It was that misplaced hope. I remember asking Sarah, you know, after Ryan was born, saying, okay, what could I do differently as a parent? You know, tell me, because I don't want to make the same mistakes with the boys. And she said, Mom, these were my choices that I made. You and Daddy raised me to do the right thing. I just chose not to do the right thing. So I own my choices. You know what, you guys, your kids are going to make some choices that go totally against what you want for them and what you believe for them. But do you trust God with that? He's got a lot of stuff to teach you along the way. One lesson that I learned that I wish I had to do over again. And we did this more with the boys and with Sarah. And I had the privilege and the opportunity to share this with Ryan, my granddaughter, as I drove her home. I wanted to spend some time with her talking about boys before she entered high school this year. And we had some really good talks. But one of the things that I said was, Ryan, I wish I would have said this to Sarah when she was your age. And so I'm telling you now, you're going to mess up. You're going to blow it. You're going to sin. Your parents are going to blow it and they're going to sin. And all your sin is going to bump up against each other. And you're going to have to ask their forgiveness and they're going to have to ask your forgiveness. I want you to know that your parents don't expect you to be perfect. I don't want you to expect to be perfect. Why do we expect that out of our kids, you guys? It's not even possible. Jesus was perfect. We wouldn't need a savior if we were perfect, right? So don't expect that out of your own children. Let me tell you the rest of the story, and you already saw the picture. Here's Sarah in December, graduating from Azusa Pacific University 17 years after she started. I never thought this was possible, you guys. It blows me away. 5 colleges, 17 years later, and she graduated. And you know what her major was, or is? Pastoral counseling. How precious is that? And then an even cooler part of the story is that she's due in 6 weeks. And she said, Mom, how am I going to do a baby without Michael and Robin? I said, you have a husband. Isn't that awesome? And she asked me, she said, are you coming out for the birth? I said, no. I said, I'm going to come out right afterward, but I've been through both births with you, and this is for you and your husband to have this bonding moment together. And I am so excited for her to do that, and she's going to be an awesome mom because she's got so much love to give. So did you think, like, how could the story get any better? But it just gets better. So one thing that got me through the trials, I'd say probably the biggest and maybe the only thing that got me through the trials, was God's word. And I poured over it. Okay, this picture just is so precious. Look at her face and the contentment of that face. Another picture that makes me happy. I am holding you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. So think about that, you guys. Okay, everybody put your right hand out. You're holding God's hand, right? Okay? So where is Jesus sitting? At the right hand of God. So where is he in the equation? You just peek around the corner and Jesus is right there. How cool is that? I would encourage you guys to do a study on the right hand of God, Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, because it is so cool to hear all the things that he's doing over there. All right? One of the things, he is an advocate. He is interceding for you. So you get to hold God's hand, and then there's Jesus doing all the stuff that he's doing. You are an incredible company, incredible company. So why do I share this story of heartache and hope with you? Okay, you're going, yeah, I came, and that was really a downer. There were some really good spots of it, but, you know, her kid really messed up. But I had the misconception, and maybe you do too, that if I do the right things, my kids are going to turn out okay, right? You guys can do the right things, but that's God's job on how your kids turn out. You're responsible before the Lord on how you raise your kids, but that's not your job, your responsibility on how they turn out. Again, it's bearing each other's burdens, bearing our kids' burdens, but not carrying their load. So I want to tell you five things in parting from here. The first thing is, let go and lean in, all right? You are not in control. God is. And the sooner that you get that through your pretty little head, it's going to be so much more peaceful for you, right? Let go and lean in. Secondly, with Jesus, there is always hope, because he is our hope. He is the one and only true hope. I have this little cross, and that's my life verse on it, sitting right on my kitchen windowsill. So it sits there and looks at me all the time. And there's this little ornament on it. Anybody can read, what does that say? Hope. So can I tell you the number of times that I took this off here because I ran out of hope and I had to hold on to it somewhere, that I would just grab this and just hold it because I said, Lord, I can't even find hope. I don't know where it is. But he reminded me that he is my hope. So I'd encourage you to find a little. I looked for these everywhere. I could not find them. But find hope somewhere that you can really just literally hold on to. I'm a very tactile learner, and it helps me to have something like that. Thirdly, be teachable. All right? So you're probably thinking, okay, she had one pregnant daughter, and then she got pregnant again. So I'm going, okay, God, what did I not learn the first time that I have to learn the second time, right? I don't want to learn this again. So whatever he's trying to teach you, get it. Adhere to it. Say, Lord, I'm here. I want to learn whatever I can. Really, it's about knowing God better and better all throughout our lives. That's the goal, to know him. Your homework assignment, if you choose to take this, is I really would encourage you to find a mom that's 10 years down the road at least, and take her to lunch, take her to coffee, and just pick her brain, because she has some wisdom there that you don't maybe know yet. You may know it. You may be really wise, but there's so much learning that can take place when we're walking in community with other people, other believers that we respect. Fourthly, be obedient to share your own story. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, it talks all over the place. Share God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. Everybody in here has a story. Don't keep it under a lid. I cannot tell you the joy it has been to be able to share Sarah's story. You guys, I have shared it with complete strangers. And people come out of the woodwork. When you're broken and you share your junk, people say, oh, thank you. I can't relate to perfect people, all right? Share your story. For those of you that are going to the women's retreat, share your story. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and open up about what's going on in your own life, okay? Promise me? Okay, so important. Fifthly and lastly, his hand can be trusted. His hand can be trusted. When you get to be my age, you have a lot of friends that have been through child rearing, and the child rearing years of a lot of struggle and heartache, a lot of joys too. And there's so much to say about that. I have friends that are just really dealing with some difficult things right now. But we don't see very clearly. We don't get to see the whole picture. What I want you to do is pick up the straw on the table there. Everybody get a straw. And I want you to close your one eye and look at me with the straw with your other eye. Okay? Look at me right here in the face. All right? Can you see very much? No, you cannot. All right? When Sarah got pregnant, you guys, I was so myopic. That's all I could see was Sarah's pregnancy. I didn't see this incredible, beautiful story that I shared with you tonight of God's faithfulness that is so amazing. It just blows me away every day. I'm so grateful. I wouldn't trade a single bit of that pain, you guys. Wouldn't trade a bit of it. I would not want to be the person I was. Nobody would want to talk to me, right? Brokenness is so important. We don't need a savior if we're not broken. With parenting, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. It's not a formula. And I think about the 2 verses that I have that are my life verses, and it struck me, oh my gosh, this is like mom simplified. This is just the perfect verses for mothers. 2 different verses. 1 from Hebrews, Hebrews 12:2, and a little bit of 1. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what are we supposed to do? Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the very what? Joy? For the joy set before him to go to the cross, that's joy. You guys, you are moms. There is joy set before you, even though there's heartache. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down where? At the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Remember, he's there, you just peek around. He's doing all this cool stuff for you. Secondly, Colossians 3:14 is my other verse. Above all else, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond of unity. So you guys, put those two together. Fix your eyes on Jesus, put on love. How simple is that, right? Little simple formula for being a mom. Fixing your eyes on him. You guys, read scripture. I can't even tell you how important that is to give you hope. And be on your knees and pray for your kids, because if you don't, you are powerless. Powerless. Find a place where you can go and lay before the Lord and lay your kids down before him and let them go. That's what he wants you to do. He just keeps on saying, I got them. You just got to let them go. So in closing, I want to call you to a life of freedom. And this may be kind of uncomfortable for y'all, but that little card that you did with all your anxieties, right? I want you... I really want you to come forward and to kneel right down here with that card right in front of you. And I want you to do business with the Lord. I want you to lay all those anxieties down before him. Remember, he's right around the other side of God, and he's interceding you for you already. I want you to come and kneel and stay here and look at that card and give every one of those anxieties to him. And then when you're done with that, I want you to turn it over, and I want you to give your kids over to them, over to him too. Because you know what? Look at Sarah's beautiful story. Your kids have a beautiful story in the making. It's a love story with Jesus in them, and he wants to do great and mighty things. Okay? So are you guys going to do the challenge here? Emily's going to play some music back there, this beautiful song called I Shall Not Want. And if you just want to pray and then the rest of the time listen to this song, yes, but please do just come and kneel, and I want you to have your time with the Lord.